About 10 years ago, when I was an army chaplain, I was part of a short-term training team in Sierra Leone. You've heard a few of my Sierra Leone dits, and here's another one for you now. Late one afternoon, after a long day of training, we were returning to our base in a Land Rover. I was in the passenger seat, and a young corporal was driving. And as we were driving along, up ahead, there were two large trucks straddling the road. One was clearly broken down, and the other one was behind it with a large chain from the front of the healthy one connected to the rear of the broken one. So you imagine there was a broken down one like that facing forwards, and there was a healthy one there like this, and a chain between them. And the healthy one was trying to pull the broken down one back off the road. So as we approached, I put my hand on the corporal's shoulder and I said, "Stop here, because that chain's about to snap." He looked at me as if I was a bit mad, but he stopped where I told him. And about 5 seconds later, well, the chain didn't snap, but the rear bumper and the half of the rear chassis of the broken down truck snapped off and came flying back and smashed into the windscreen and the front of the healthy truck. Thankfully, no one was hurt, but a fair old bit of damage was done. The corporal turned to me and he said, "Nice one, Padre." I subsequently had a bit of a reputation in that unit for being able to predict the future. Of course, that's not what happened at all. It wasn't a prophetic premonition or a word from the Holy Spirit. I used to do a lot of off-road driving. I've had Land Rovers and all sorts of 4x4s. I also worked on a farm as a teenager, and I've recovered dozens of stranded vehicles. I know what's safe and what's not. I've seen ropes and chains snap. I've seen recovery points fail, and I've seen the damage it can do. And not only that, but I'd seen the state of the vehicles in Sierra Leone. And so I was able to see the potential risk and to warn about it by being alert and paying attention. As we've gone through our series on prophets and prophecies, you may have noticed that the Bible prophets don't tend to give really specific predictions about the future. Sometimes they do, but mostly they give warnings that poor behaviour from God's people will lead to unpleasant consequences. And this morning, we're thinking about ourselves as prophets. Now, you may not think of yourself as a prophet, but if you are a Christian, if the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside you, then one of the things he calls you to do is to speak out against injustice, against immorality, and to warn of the consequences. And that's not always easy to do. When I was training to be an army chaplain, we were reminded that although we were officers, we didn't strictly have any authority. However, we did have a right and an obligation to speak prophetically to authority. On one occasion, I'd only been at my first regiment for a few months, and I was still finding my feet as a chaplain. The commanding officer was away on a course, away for a few weeks, and the second in command, known as the 2IC, and the regimental sergeant major, had made a change to the way something was done. And this change was extremely detrimental to some of the soldiers. Having thought about it and prayed about it, I went to see the 2IC, and I very politely but firmly told him that this change was wrong, that it was harmful to soldiers, that it was against MOD policy, and that if the press got hold of it, they call it the Sun newspaper test, then it would be really problematic. He got very defensive, told me that that's the way it was, and I needed to get on board if I wanted to be an officer in that regiment. And so I left his office with my tail between my legs, feeling a bit sorry for myself and a bit perplexed, as I knew I had done the right thing. That lunchtime in the officer's mess after lunch, the 2IC came up to me over a brew and he apologised. You came to me very politely and respectfully. You articulated the issue well and I was rude to you. Having given it some consideration and spoken to other officers, you were right and we're not going to do this thing anymore. That doesn't happen every time we speak up. Sometimes when you speak prophetically, you are vindicated, as I was, and other times, sadly not. But if we are going to speak prophetically to authority figures, or to anyone for that matter, we have to ensure that what we're saying is in line with biblical truths, and not just something that we've got a chip on our shoulder about. Jesus said, turn the other cheek. The Apostle Paul said, why not rather be wronged? So if it's something that's affecting us personally, we need to consider very, very carefully whether the Spirit is actually calling us to speak out. Far more likely, he wants us to speak out on behalf of others. Others who are being treated unfairly, unjustly, or immorally. We need to understand then, if we're going to be prophets, the gospel truths that are articulated throughout the Bible, Old and New Testaments. Do we really understand Jesus' story of the Good Samaritan? And what it teaches us about loving our neighbour and who our neighbour is. Do we really understand his story of the prodigal son and what it says about sin and repentance? Do we really understand Yahweh's command in Leviticus, the foreigner residing among you must be treated as your native born, love them as yourself? And do we really understand the words of the prophet Micah? Act justly and love mercy and walk humbly with your God. These sorts of verses must be at the heart of our prophetic Christian witness to the world. Hatred and violence and vengeance and selfishness are not Christian values, and in fact they are the very things we should be taking a stand against. I'm going to say something that some of you might find a bit controversial, but hey, we British Baptists are known as dissenting non-conformists. Throughout the Bible, the biggest enemy to God's people is the state, the government. Starting with the Tower of Babel, then Egypt, the various nations surrounding ancient Israel, the corrupt monarchies of Israel and Judah themselves, Babylon, Persia, the Roman Empire, the Pharisees and Sadducees representing the Jewish ruling class. None of these governments behaved ethically or morally. In 1 Samuel chapter 8, the Israelites demand a king, and God instructs Samuel to prophetically warn them what a king will do. This is what the king who will reign over you will claim as his rights. He will take your sons and make them serve with his chariots and horses, others to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and still others to make weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive groves and give them to his attendants. He will take a tenth of your grain and of your vintage and give it to his officials and attendants. Your male and female servants and the best of your cattle and donkeys he will take for his own use. He will take a tenth of your flocks and you yourselves will become his slaves.
as Christians, as the people of God in this place at this time, we need a healthy skepticism as we watch the behaviour and attitudes of governments and states in our own country and around the world. Hatred and violence and vengeance and selfishness are not Christian values. I was sickened to see Donald Trump being prayed over in the White House as he invades countries and murders politicians and leaders and civilians while cynically pretending to be a Christian. Likewise, you'd have to be unbelievably naive to think that Nigel Farage and Reform genuinely want to uphold the Christian faith and aren't just using it for their own selfish gain. If we're going to speak out prophetically, we need to ensure we identify the sorts of behaviours and attitudes and people that the Bible prophets and especially Jesus spoke out against. Immoral politicians, corrupt judges and lawmakers, greedy businessmen, hypocritical religious leaders. I chose the passage from the beginning of Jeremiah partly because he speaks out against the corrupt monarchy of Judah. He speaks out against what the Jewish religion had become. He speaks out against corrupt and unjust lawmakers. He speaks out against violent governments. And he warns God's people of the consequences of their disobedience. The other reason I chose this passage is because, like Jeremiah, we are called to speak out prophetically. And I'm sure that, like Jeremiah, we find that a daunting and nerve-wracking task. Oh, Lord, we say, truly I do not know how to speak. I am only a child. And if we are being called to speak prophetically against the same things Jeremiah did over 2,600 years ago, then the same reassurances that God gave him are also ours. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. Do not say I am only a child, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. I want to close with a true and somewhat unpleasant story. I'm aware that the Roman Catholic Church has its issues, but there are some very faithful and truly Christian Roman Catholic priests and people. In 1988, at the height of the Northern Ireland Troubles, two Royal Signal soldiers were dragged from their car, stripped naked, tortured, and murdered by the IRA in broad daylight. A Roman Catholic priest called Alec Reed tried to intervene, tried to stop what was happening, and he asked bystanders to call an ambulance. He was ordered by the IRA not to interfere. When the soldiers were shot dead, he rushed to them, carried out CPR, and prayed over them as they died. Alec Reed went on to become a fundamental part of the Northern Ireland peace process. And in fact, it's likely that without him, both sides wouldn't have come together, and there wouldn't have been the Good Friday Agreement, and there wouldn't today be peace in Northern Ireland. Maybe you're not going to have a prophetic ministry quite as dramatic as Alec Reed's. However, just as the Spirit of the Lord was upon Jeremiah, upon Isaiah, upon Deborah, upon Anna, upon Jesus, so he is upon us. To speak out prophetically in our words and in our deeds, God's message of peace, his message of mercy, his message of reconciliation.